And let's pick up on politics with our political strategists. Joining us today are Maria Cardona, Democratic strategist. Hi, Maria.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well. And Alice Stewart, Republican strategist. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Jeremy. Great to be here.
Great to have you. And let's start with the president's sort of reversals, I guess you could say, this week. Last week, he renewed his push to repeal Obamacare. Now he says he doesn't want to do it until after the election. He said last week, as we just heard, that he will shut down the border with Mexico. Now the White House is sort of backing off that threat. Alice, does he risk anything by making these big declarations and then a few days later stepping back from it?
Well, if history is any indication, no. This is par for the course for what this president does. And in his mind, he views this as a way to start the conversation. And look, he campaigned and many Republicans campaigned on repealing and replacing Obamacare. And that is something that Americans want with regard to fixing and correcting our health care. It's just the question is how to go about doing this. I think his announcement or decision to say he's going to close the border is extremely problematic. I also think cutting off aid to the Northern Triangle is a problem. I've seen the benefits of aid to the Northern Triangle, and it needs to remain. I've seen USAID in action, and if he does move forward with cutting off the aid, it will have the reverse effect with regard to people coming up into this country. It will create greater instability there, and people will leave the country. So I think a lot of this is him starting the conversation, and that's important. But I don't see major changes with regard to some of these proposals that he's putting out there.
Well, Maria, how should Democrats respond to these things?
Well, I think they're responding exactly how they responded in 2018, which is, thank you, President Trump, for making health care yet a big focal point going into 2020, because it is what allowed us to take over the House of Representatives in 2018. Look, health care continues to be the number one issue. And frankly, I hope Republicans on the Hill have health care, because they're suffering from whiplash in terms of what this president has said publicly and then has reiterated that he's going to go the opposite way and then saying, oh, he's not going to deal with it until after the 2020 election. But regardless, he has handed Democrats, frankly, the issue that they were going to run on anyway in 2020.
Well, Maria, actually, that brings me to another question about the Democrats, because we don't really know right now where they stand, especially because there are so many presidential candidates who want to, you know, differentiate themselves. But we don't know where they stand exactly on health care. Senate Democrats unveiled a health care plan called Medicare X, which would make Medicare a public health insurance option. But it's not Medicare for all, which some are pushing for.
Right.
What do you think of where the Democrats are in healthcare right now?
Well, and this is, again, why I thank the president, because he actually has handed the Democrats a blanket issue that they can all run on, which is protecting the Affordable Care Act. And then, yes, if they want to talk about Medicare for all in terms of the next step, that's fine. But right now, what Americans see is that the Affordable Care Act is in jeopardy. And the majority of Americans support the Affordable Care Act, including the majority of Republicans. In fact, there was a poll this morning that said 9 out of 10 voters do not trust Trump at all, nor Republicans, to take care of America's healthcare system, and they trust Democrats. So again, thank you, President Trump, for unifying the 2020 candidates going into the 2020 presidential in terms of protecting the Affordable Care Act and ensuring that Americans, all Americans, especially those with pre-existing conditions, are afforded the protections that they need.
Alice? I think it's really, if I can just say this, Medicare for all might sound great to a lot of those on the left and Democrats as a campaign talking point, but that is government-run health care. It is a single-payer system that is not sustainable, and that does not provide Americans with what they want, what they have said for years they want. They want greater access to care. They want lower deductibles. They want to keep their doctors. If they like their doctor, they want to keep it, which has not been the case. And they want quality, affordable health care, and they're not getting it right now. And so I no matter how the Democrats want to call it, it's simply not sustainable, and Americans do want something different.
They want the Affordable Care Act, which the president now wants to take away. So Thank you, Trump.
Okay. Now, let's talk about the Mueller report and the Barr letter. Now, the House Judiciary Committee voted this morning to give the chairman, Jerry Nadler, the power to subpoena the Justice Department to release the full Mueller report on the Russia investigation, which we will say found no collusion and didn't rule either way, really, on obstruction of justice, according to the attorney general. Nadler told reporters he would not negotiate on what's redacted.
The committee must see everything, as was done in every prior instance. Obviously, some material will have to be redacted before it's released to the public to protect privacy, to protect the various rights. But the committee is entitled and must see all the material.
Now, there's not going to be a subpoena right away. They're giving the attorney general more time. Maria, why are Democrats holding their fire on demanding the full Mueller report now?
Because I think they do want to give this Department of Justice and this Attorney General the chance to do the right thing, even though knowing that he is somebody who came into this job with a very strong political point of view against the Mueller investigation and for almost complete authoritative executive power. But having said that, we're going to give him some time, which I think is the right thing to do, but with the understanding that the committee should see every single piece of this report. They should understand what was behind Mueller's findings. That way they can actually do their job of oversight, which frankly, in the last 2 years of Republican leadership in Congress, has been non-existent.
Alice, do you agree with that?
And frankly, the majority of Americans believe that the Mueller report should be seen by the public.
I think they're entering into troubled waters here. Look, I don't understand why their hair is all of a sudden on fire about the releasing this report. Barr has said he is going to release it. He has said that certain information does need to be redacted. So they're continuing to pound their fists on the table and threaten subpoenas is really unnecessary. And the rate to
which they continue to throw out
the word subpoena every time someone gets their pizza toppings wrong, it cheapens the process. And we need to wait. We need to let Barr do the correct redactions. As we all know, they need to protect the classified information, the sources and methods, people that have not been indicted, as well as information that needs to be protected. And Barr is doing that. He has said so. The president has said that he wants to do that. They need to just calm down,
be patient, and let
this legal process take its course.
The president has now walked that back, and he does not want this report out. And I think there's a reason for that. I think he knows that there is danger there for him. But look, what we are saying is that don't let America, the whole public, see an unredacted report. No, the committee should see it. Everybody on that committee has the proper, you know, classifications in terms of being able to see classified information. So they should see it. There's no reason to redact pieces of it for the committee. Then they will ensure that the proper redactions are made when the report is made public.
Okay, let's move on to 2020 in the few minutes that we have left, because there's a lot to talk about. And starting with the former Vice President Joe Biden, two more women have come forward to claim that he touched them in a way that made them uncomfortable. That means four women have now accused him of that. And at a Politico forum yesterday, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi weighed in on what Biden said and what he should say.
So to say I'm sorry that you were offended is not an apology. I'm sorry I invaded your space.
Now, Maria, you've joined other Democrats such as Pelosi in saying this hasn't been disqualifying for Biden in terms of getting into the race. What do you think now?
I still think that's true, but I've also qualified that qualification by saying that it all depends on how he answers these questions, because he's going to continue to get them. He does need to acknowledge that his actions, no matter how innocuous and innocent they were, and I do believe they were innocuous and innocent, but he needs to acknowledge that those actions made women feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. He needs to acknowledge that, apologize for that, and say that he is going to check his behavior from here on out.
Alice, here's President Trump joking about these problems with Biden last night.
I was going to call him. I don't know him well. I was going to say, welcome to the world, Joe. You having a good time, Joe?
So, you know, Kellyanne Conway was on one of the Sunday talk shows over the weekend, and she was talking about creepy Uncle Joe, which sort of brings up the old phrase about people who live in glass houses not throwing stones. I mean, this is President Trump, somebody who bragged on tape about grabbing women.
Right. And look, I think there's no comparison here. I've gone repeatedly on record saying that the words that have come out of this president's mouth are disturbing and should not be tolerated. And look, inappropriate touching, inappropriate language to women that makes them feel uncomfortable is not right. And it's not about the person's intent, as Joe Biden has said. It's not what they intended to do. It is how these women feel. And I'm glad we were able to have this conversation. And it's important to realize, while this is wrong, the behavior should not be tolerated. It's like getting a speeding ticket. Going over the speed limit 5 miles an hour is much different than going over the speed limit 55 miles an hour. And I think we need to take each and every one of these instances separately and individually. Joe Biden, in my view, is someone that should be respected and has a long history in politics. I don't believe this is disqualifying, but it is his decision and his family's decision to make as to what he does moving forward.
And I agree with Alice on this. And frankly, before Kellyanne talks about this again, she needs to remember that she is working for a self-professed sexual predator in the White House right now.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll leave it right there. But thank you so much to both of you, Maria Cardona, Democratic strategist, Alice Stewart, a Republican strategist, and lots to talk about as this race for president goes on. Some fundraising numbers coming in. We will discuss it all in the coming days. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks, Jeremy.